analysis of non-orthogonal designs, whether because of careful, intentional, stratified sampling to match subpopulation proportions or of sampling exigencies, what's in the database that somebody gave you. Many of our factor designs have unequal n, resulting in non-orthogonality, which you can also call collinearity, correlation, whatever you want, among our effects. Either way, we have to be certain our variance partitioning, significance tests, and interpretations match up properly. We talked about three different kinds of sum of squares. Type 1 sums of squares is the only one you need, and these are really all the same thing, if you have orthogonal effects. Because what the type 1 sums of squares assumes is that the effects are orthogonal. So I can go look at the marginal means for A and learn everything there is to learn about A. Look at the marginal means for B, learn everything there is to learn about B. Look at the cell means and learn everything there is to know about the interaction. The type 2 sums of squares came about when we had people that were working in factorial designs with unequal n, but weren't looking at the interactions. And these were primarily the sociologists. Sociologists would run ANOVAs with 5, 6, 7 IVs, but they weren't interested in the interaction patterns. And so if you ran a type 1 and you looked at marginal means to learn about A, then what you ended up with was the right idea about the first variable you put in, the wrong idea about everything else. Oops. So we started running things in ANOVA where you went through all sorts of complicated machinations to calculate your sum of x and your sum of x squared, your sum of x squared and your sum of x squared, not to be confused with your sum of x squared, and your n's and all of those things, so that you were looking at A corrected for B and B corrected for A, because you knew they were related. It was about this time that people started wondering if there wasn't some relationship between ANOVA and regression. Because now we were trying to do the same thing, one in matrix algebra, the other in linear algebra. We were getting to the same place. And it was too complicated, and they did this. The type 3 sums of squares became important when two things became important at the same time. One, have to look at those interactions. And two, have to recognize that we have non-orthogonal things. So we can't just look at the marginal means for A to learn about A. We have to correct those marginal means for the influence of B in the interaction. We can't just look at the marginal means of B to learn all about B. We have to correct those marginal means of B for A in the interaction. And we really can't just look at the cell means, because those cell means are also driven by both variables, which is an interaction. So, we end up with type 3 sum of squares as being the most common. Why is it a good idea? One, in multiple regression, the collinearity among predictors is caused by the relationship among the constructs and is expected to replicate across good samplings from the same situation. Okay. In other words, collinearity is natural. And other than crappy sampling, which might push it around, any couple of good samples should give you very similar collinearity structures. However, for factorial designs, the collinearity among the effects is determined by the relative sample sizes. So unless you have explicitly gone after stratified samples, the collinearity among the effects is whatever you happen to get, rather than reflecting the true collinearity. Because here, collinearity, and this is where the math people like to separate the notion of collinearity, which is how variables are related because constructs are related, and non-orthogonality, which is how factors are related because of sampling. See how there's a different causal path. Non-orthogonality comes from sampling. Collinearity comes from nature. The statistic doesn't give a shit. It still has the same extent of collinearity to deal with, and it solves it the same way, controlling everything for everything else. This is another case where the statistics just are numbers. Said differently, the effects confound each other differently depending upon what the relative sample size happens to be. That is, confounds vary with sample size. And that's the part that hurts. Confounding should be either a sampling thing or a procedural thing. It shouldn't be just a sample size thing. But it is. That's part of the difference between categorical variables and quantitative variables. By using type 3 sums of squares, that is correcting each effect for the happenstance collinearity it has with the other effects, we should replicate the same corrected effects regardless of the collinearity among them. That's the hope. That because we're controlling for whatever collinearity is there, underneath that control, we're getting at the real multivariate effect. That if you take into account when this one happens to have a little more collinearity, and in this sample when it has a little less, that you ought to come up with, that even though your correlations won't be the same, and your uncorrected marginal means won't be the same, that your corrected marginal means will be more similar across multiple samples. And since our whole game is programmatic representation and inference, this should be comforting. You and I might get marginal means, not because we have different measures of different constructs or bad procedures. You and I may get different marginal means just because you ended up with more motivated boys than I did, and I ended up with less motivated girls than you did, and so I found a smaller raw mean difference than you did. But when we correct that for the correlation between motivation and gender, you and I ought to end up with the more similar corrected mean differences than the uncorrected mean difference. How are we doing? That's sort of a hard step, I know. But that's the idea. And it's the same freaking idea as regression. Or, as he said, in a very nice simplification, all we're doing is controlling confounding by putting it into a multivariate model. Uh-huh. Cell means in non-orthogonal factorial designs are calculated, analyzed, and interpreted the same in orthogonal and non-orthogonal designs. The analysis interpretation of simple effects are the same in orthogonal and non-orthogonal analyses. They are sitting at the highest level. They are produced by the interaction. And so the cell means and the corrected cell means are going to be the same thing. Marginal means. We have three different kinds of marginal means in non-orthogonal designs. We have the unweighted marginal means, which doesn't take into account the differential sample size. We just take that average and that average to get that marginal mean average, and nobody ever uses that except by mistake because it's a problem. We have weighted marginal means, where and when we build this, we take into account that there's more of these than those. Okay? And then we have the estimated marginal means, which is based on the model, which is what this unique effect is after controlling for the others. So hardly anybody ever comes down rooting for the unweighted marginal means, but you will run into people who will disagree about what they ought to analyze and interpret in a factorial design, especially somebody who was raised on orthogonal designs, was raised on descriptive raw marginal means, and they might look at that that output for the expected marginal means, look at those numbers that come out of the model aren't the same, and go voodoo, black magic, evil, and go back and compare the raw marginal means. Now you can compare the raw marginal means, and you may be doing that among your kind, but keep in mind that what you're doing when you look at the raw marginal means is you are looking at a bivariate analysis of that IV, ignoring the rest of the model that you could be looking at. Just like sometimes you look at that whole cool fancy path analysis, maybe even a structural equation model, but the most important thing to you is one correlation in the correlation matrix. There's all this cool multivariate stuff, all this cool latent stuff, all this really cool stuff, but you know what? The takeaway message that I really need right now is that correlation. Maybe two. What you really might need is the comparison here. This may be the most interesting thing that somebody sees. How's motivation related to performance? And yes, I know there's boys and girls. They might even be different. But what's that bivary question? To build on your, it's really just the same as regression, so is this. If you look at a comparison of weighted marginal means, which you can do by calculating an LSD, you're looking at the bivariate question of does that variable relate to the criterion? If that's your goal, that's the only way to do it. The expected marginal means are expressly multivariate. You cannot unmultivariate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something is non-orthogonal for two reasons. Either the sample size is different for different conditions, or there's a second variable that makes the data collinear.
That's always true. There's always some collinearity out there. But what I'm trying to get you to say is that if you went after stratified sampling and got the pattern that's there, then the collinearity from your non-orthogonality is representative. If you just grabbed the first 200 you could get, whether or not this represents the subpopulations in that population, their strata, you still get correction that is going to improve the corrected means, so they're better than the uncorrected means. But whether the relationship between the variables is driving your non-orthogonality or sample size is driving your orthogonality is based on how you sampled. And there's three possibilities. You went after a stratified sample and got what's representative. You took whatever you could get and happened to get representative. Or you took whatever you could get, didn't get representative, but still the multivariate is better than the bivariate. We okay?
I think so.
Okay.
What follow-up question?
Sure.
So if we were before when you just had the bivariate design with the boys and girls.
Uh-huh.
So if we use stratified sampling and we said we had 30 in each group, then we'd have an orthogonal design.
Uh-huh.
But if we added motivation as a binary variable and split on high and low motivation, we could choose to continue to make it orthogonal.
Yes.
Okay, but...
But it would be non-representative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we were replicating a study that did the same thing and we made motivation a binary variable... If our median split's different than the other group, then would we switch to a non-orthogonal design to make the groups equal, or would we continue with an orthogonal design so we could match the equal sample size in the original study?
You get to choose. And the hope is that no matter which of those you choose, and whether you drive the collinearity up or down, that the corrected mean difference here is more representative.
So you can compare the two studies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, when we were doing meta-analysis, we would pay attention to whether something was binarized or left continuous. And if it was binarized, we might actually code where it was split. Mm-hmm. Because median splits are sample dependent. But if I split at, say, 60, I'm always going to split at 60, then I don't have an even split, but I might have a more representative split. By the way, median splits come from an intent to maintain orthogonal factorial designs. Median splits come from, not exclusively, but one of the places that we see median splits is in early social psychology that wanted to study interactions, didn't at the time have access to interactions between categorical or quantitative variables. So they forced everything into a 2x2 by doing a median split. That was around the time, early 50s, that was around the time that the whole orthogonal, non-orthogonal thing was starting to blossom and set on fire. And so by doing median splits, median, median, you end up with equal n, orthogonal designs, simpler analysis, especially if you're doing it by hand. So one of the ideas behind the median split was to maintain orthogonality. among people who knew in their hearts and in their publications that those two constructs that they were creating into an orthogonal 2x2 were not uncorrelated in their quantitative form. It was one of a whole bunch of examples that we've seen some and we'll see more where we oversimplified something to make it more statistically available. And you can decide if that's an oops or an opportunity. Our hope is that the weighted marginal means are the best estimate of the mean of the population represented by the aggregate of the corresponding cell means. In other words, our hope is that if this is representative in terms of relative proportion, that weighted mean is a better guess than an unweighted mean, because it takes the strata into account. However, as we've discussed, you must be very careful when producing and interpreting marginal means, because as an aggregate, they might not actually represent anything. What is the average of motivated and unmotivated people, or between those that are above the median and those that are below the median? Is the average the median? Yeah, that's the right face. Also, color change, pay attention. The weighted marginal means represent the difference between the groups, including the confounding of that group difference by the other main effect. In other words, it is a comparison of the weighted marginal means is an expressly bivariate analysis. Same thing I said before. Okay? Because those ignore the confounding. All you've got is two groups. When you calculate this mean right here, it's as if this line goes away. Because you can say, well, I got to sort them into motivated, not motivated. Not at this point. You calculated the mean of everybody. And then you compared it to this. There's now only two variables involved. This one and performance. It is expressly bivariate. It's as if we had never drawn that line or noticed that we have two kinds. It is expressly bivariate. Said differently, the difference between the weighted marginal means is like a simple correlation. It represents the bivariate relationship between the DV and that IV without regard to how that relationship is confounded by other variables. So just like when you do a multiple regression, you can interpret the regression weight or you can interpret the correlation. Just make sure you're interpreting the one you care about, the bivariate or the multivariate. When you're doing this, you can interpret the marginal means or the estimated marginal means, depending upon whether what you care about is bivariate or multivariate. How are we doing? There's more.